So the series that we're looking at, or that we have been looking at for the past few weeks, is called The Warfare in Your Mind. The Warfare in Your Mind. And as a short recap, the last time we spoke, I said that there is a warfare that goes on in our mind, and the purpose of that warfare is to take us somewhere. The purpose of that warfare is to ensure that we don't get to the destination that God has ordained for us. Now, the other thing I looked at last time was, I said, what is warfare? I said, what is warfare? And I got a dictionary definition of what warfare is. And I said, warfare refers to the activity, the process or method of engaging in armed conflict between military forces, nations, and groups. It involves the use of specific weapons and strategies and tactics to weaken or defeat an opponent. To weaken and defeat an opponent. So I said that there is a warfare against you and I. And this dictionary definition says warfare is aimed at defeating an individual. If you turn on your telly, sorry, people don't watch telly anymore. I don't remember. Let me, if you go to YouTube, yeah, that's one on that people look at now. Go to YouTube. There's like news of things happening around. This nation is bombing that nation. This person is doing this to this person. So warfare is something that is widespread. And I said that the purpose of warfare is to, looking at it naturally, is that someone says, okay, I want to attack that person. Why? Because I want to take over their territory. I want the resources that they have. People, nations just don't go to war because it's quite expensive. So the purpose of warfare is to take over the life of an individual or take over a region and to begin to control that region, to enforce one nation tries to enforce its own principles on that nation that it's warring against. That's the purpose of warfare. Now, that's what we spoke about the last time. So what does warfare have to do with you and I? Well, I mentioned last time that the devil wants to take over your life. The devil wants to take over my life as well. And oftentimes when we hear about the devil, we think about this scary creature with horns coming to scare you at night saying, oh, I'm the devil, and all that. He does that sometimes in very uncomplicated matters, but that is not the best weapon that he exercises against us in warfare. That's too obvious. The warfare that the devil exercises against us to defeat us, to ensure that our lives are miserable, to ensure that everything that God has planned for that individual doesn't come to pass. He exercises warfare, but it's not as obvious as a nation going to bomb another one. He exercises that warfare in our mind. And we might not be aware. He exercises that warfare primarily in our mind. Subtle. And you might not know that you are in warfare actually. Because if the devil just comes and says, okay, this is me, or evil comes, you can't just say no. But he employs a strategy that is very subtle. And that strategy is in our minds. That is where the warfare happens. So that's what we spoke about last time. Today, I'm going to carry on with the second installment. And what I've called this second installment is thought conversations. Thought conversations. So, like I'm speaking to you now with my voice, right? So I'm speaking. I can say, how was your week last week? You can answer me, Bug. Sorry? Good. Okay, he says good. You're all looking at me like, Pastor, aren't you going to ask me how my week was? Don't worry, I know your week was good. So I just asked him a question. I'm speaking to him with my voice audibly. We're having a conversation. So your week was good. So what did you do last? Don't worry, let me know. So I just had a short conversation with him, with my speech, right? Now, there's another conversation that happens to us or happens within us. And that conversation is in our minds through thoughts. Through thoughts. So you might be sitting down and you have a certain thought that goes through your mind. Or you might be having certain thoughts in your mind. Now, for example, you could be like, oh, Pastor B, you need to hurry up today. My lunch is at 12 and I'm going to have to just, you know, rush back home. If that's your thought, just hold that thought. You might be thinking, as I'm speaking now, oh, this, what is Pastor Benson saying? Okay, then you're thinking about different things. You might be hearing some thoughts saying, okay, do this, do that, okay. What? So thoughts are going on in your mind as conversations. So when I'm speaking audibly, like I just spoke to drummer here, it's you can hear. But the majority of the conversations that we have are in our mind. In our mind. And guess what? Who's having conversations with us in our mind? You are having conversations with yourself. God is having conversations with you. And the devil is having conversations with you as well. In your mind. So I'm looking at what I've called, under this warfare in your mind, thought conversations. The warfare through the way you think. Warfare through your thoughts and through the way you think. I'm going to read a story from the Bible and I will make a number of points from that. The story I'm going to read is from the book of Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 20. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 20. It talks about the story of a young man that we might have heard of, or maybe we haven't heard of that yet, but I'll read it and I'll explain a number of things. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off to a distant country. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to feed his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, this young man, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired servants. So he got up and went to his father's house. Or he got up and went back to his father. So, we see the story here of a young boy, young man. He got up one day and he said to his father, Father, give me my share of everything you own. Give me a share of everything that you own. I want it now. Normally, people get inheritances when their parents pass and they leave the inheritance to them. So that's what would have happened. But this guy didn't want to wait. He said, look, I'm not going to wait. I want you to give me everything that you would have given me when you're gone now. I wonder how his father felt. Well, his father said, okay, no problem. I'll give you your own share. And this boy takes the share that his father gives him And the Bible says he goes to a far country, away from the vicinity of his father, away from the vicinity of his family, and goes there. He becomes like the talk of the town. Like, oh, he might goes to a pub. He says, goes into the pub and he says, oh, mate, all drinks are on me today, everybody. Hey, and they're like praising him. You know, he goes to, give me a name of your favorite restaurant. Is it Nando's? The Ivy. Oh my goodness. We have some really posh people here. The Ivy. He goes into the Ivy and is like, what's on the menu? They say, oh, sir, these are the things on the menu. Oh, sorry, in this case, madam. No, the guy we're talking about. These are the things on the menu. What would you like to have? The most expensive thing, and everybody in this restaurant, the bill is on me today. And he goes there, and they're like, man, this is the man of the hour. This is the man. At the end of the day, he wakes up one day and is like, takes his debit card, goes to Tesco. He wants to buy, I don't know, Coca-Cola. That's not allowed in a house. Puts the debit card through. He hasn't checked his account because he's like, I've got loads of money. Declined. Declined. Sir, your card didn't go through, sir. What? Try it again. Maybe I need to put my chip and pin. Put in. Declined. He now checks his account. Zero. And suffering sets in. He begins to suffer because he's too ashamed to go home. He's too ashamed to go home. And he's like, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And the Bible says that this guy begins to go through a time in his life, a time of suffering, a time of hardship. And he's like, at one point, he suffered so much, he now thought to himself, hang on, what am I doing here? At home, my father has servants. They're not starving. They're well taken care of. What am I doing here? How did I get here? How did I get to the point where I can't even afford to eat? How did I get to the point where I'm sleeping on the streets? I'm rough packing. How did I get to the point where all the people that I bought things for, all the people that went to Ivy with me, look at me and they turn away like they don't even know me? I've become like a laughing stock. Nobody wants to have anything to do with me. And he goes to a pig farm. At least to earn some money. And when he goes to the pig farm, he starts to do, you know, and the person who owns the pig farm says, hey, I've employed you here. I'm going to give you minimum wage. And I'm not going to pay you for all the hours, by the way. Don't eat the food that the pigs are eating. If I catch you eating it, I'm going to take it out of your wages. I don't know what they fed pigs in those days. The guy was so hungry. He was like, man, whatever, the piggy thing, I'll eat it. And then if I catch you eating the piggy food, you're gone. And he now said, man, I wonder how he might have felt. Maybe he had on, in those days, when he left his father's place, he went to Bond Street. It's like, Versace. Yeah. I'm a Versace man in those days. Went to Bond, she was like, what? I'm going to Versace, I'm going to Louis Vuitton. Get me 2 Louis Vuitton bags there. I don't know why some people ask mine, Louis Vuitton and all that. Then he now finds himself with pigs. Louis Vuitton bags sold. Versace jeans muddled up with pig feces. Nowhere to sleep. So the thing is this. How did all that happen? How did he go from where he was to where he ended up. I'll make 3 points this morning, then we'll pray. Now, the thing is this. Not everything we go through in life is orchestrated by the devil. Some of it is orchestrated by our own desires. But for me, I blame the devil for most things. Not everything, by the way. So the first thing we see here is this. Remember what warfare tries to do to you and I. Warfare tries to bring you from a place where you should be, where God wants you to be, and takes you to the place of frustration. It takes you to the place of disappointment. It takes you to the place of destruction sometimes. So the first thing is this. This man, this boy had warfare operating in his life big time. The warfare in his mind took him from where he was to where he was frustrated. How did he get to where he was? The second point. So the first point is that this man, this boy was going through warfare. The aim of that warfare was to get him to where he found himself, discouraged, aimless, frustrated because of the choices that he made. So the second thing, how did he get there? How did this warfare happen in his mind? Well, the Bible tells us something. The Bible tells us something in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. That portion of scripture tells us something about strongholds. And that portion says, we'll look at that in a minute, that as an individual is going about their daily business. This is the second point. I make 3 points this morning. As the individual is going about their daily business, going to school, growing up, maybe going to work with their friends, the devil is operating warfare in their minds, having conversations with them with the view of building what the Bible calls strongholds in their minds. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold, in very light definition, is a way of thinking. A way of perceiving and understanding life. The views that someone has about a particular thing. The perspective that an individual holds about certain things in life. Those are strongholds. A stronghold comes into the mind of a person and stays there permanently sometimes, unless it's dealt with. We'll look at how we can deal with that. It's something that is built up through time. And the intention of the stronghold is that it will be like a filter that filters how you see life. So a stronghold might be, maybe in particular cultures, the culture might be, there was a culture long time ago in a certain part of the world. And there was a particular view they had about twins, if you had twin children. And the stronghold that the devil built in that whole culture was that twins are evil. Just tap it, don't bring it down. That twins are evil. You can climb the thing if you want. That twins are evil, and if, as a woman, you gave birth to twins, that was evil. And what they did with the twins, if for anyone that had twins in those days, was they would take the twins and chuck them in the woods. Yes, in history. In the woods. If you're not from England, they'll chuck them in the forest. Can you imagine a woman is like, Oh man, we're doing a baby shower and all those things. And that woman gives birth, and the culture and the stronghold in the minds that twins, evil. They grab the twins straight to, I don't know what forest is around here, some woods somewhere, and dump the twins there. Twin babies to die. How did the people get there? Strongholds. A way of thinking that has been established in their minds to say, this particular thing, this is how we should deal with it. There's some strongholds that are built in the minds of people that says, when you have a relationship with an individual, have three. As a woman, you can't just, or a man. As a man, you can't just have a relationship and date one person. You might be losing out. Date three women at the same time, as a man. At the same time. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That is a view that is saying that this is how relationships should be, but it's a wrong one. Some people might have a stronghold that, look, a personal stronghold, I don't want anybody to talk to me in a particular fashion. If my husband talks to me as a woman, or my spouse talks to me, if I don't agree with them, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell them that I'm not going to accept that, and I'll give them a slap. Oh, yes. Yeah. I know people that, well, I've come across people that I'm not going to say here. This person, real life, with their spouse, they'll be talking, and the kids will be there. And in this person's mind, the way to deal with marriage is that their spouse must be, if their spouse annoys them, just normal annoyance, they're going to take it out. And the way they took it out on their spouse in their mind was they would slap their spouse in front of the kids and tell the kids that this person you're looking at is evil in real life. I was having conversations with them. And I sat down and I said, and you are both Christians. I was at your wedding. I knew when you met each other. And I now realize that this stronghold business affects everyone if you are not aware. So for this individual, the thought was that I can slap this person. That's the way I'll have to show that I'm not going to accept this thing. It's a stronghold. It's a way of thinking that is not correct. Now, this boy had a stronghold in him. His stronghold was like, I'm restricted in my family. My father is like, let's go to church, all this church business, all this, you know. No, give me my share. I want to hit town. I'm going to Soho in London. I'm going to do this. So his stronghold, the stronghold that the devil built in his mind was like, you're not living life properly. Look at that person on TikTok. Look at how they're living their life. Look at you. Boring life. All you do, you wake up, you pray, you read your Bible. Oh, come on. How can that be a kind of life? Conversations in their mind. So I believe that the devil built a stronghold in this boy that ensured that he was discontent with the life that God has called him to. Ensured that he felt disregarded. Ensured that he felt that his self-worth was based on the Gucci bags and the things that he had. To ensure that he had a view of himself that was incorrect, that was the conversation that the devil was having with him. And built that stronghold in mind. When that stronghold was ripe, the guy made a move. The warfare had been completed. When the devil saw that the conversations I've been having with this boy for 10 years has built the stronghold, he has now acted on it. He now says, game over. The devil now steps back and the stronghold begins to filter their mind. Do you understand? I can talk about this thing for hours, but I don't have that amount of time. So what are we saying here? We're saying this, the warfare in your mind, the warfare in my mind is designed to take us to a place of frustration in our relationships, a place of frustration in our lives. And how does this happen? By the devil having conversations with us, building views that influence our actions and our decisions so that we can self-sabotage our own lives by our own selves, by the choices that we make. So as you're sat here, there's a warfare against you. But I would say don't bother too much about it. It's not something you believe, is this warfare in my mind? You don't worry about that. So I'm going to end in about 5-7 minutes. So I've said I'm making 3 main points. The first one is there is a warfare against you and I, and that warfare is designed by the devil to take you to a place like this boy of frustration in your relationships, in everything that has to do with you. The second is he does this by influencing our actions through what the Bible calls strongholds. A stronghold is a way of viewing life, a view of life that is incorrect and incompatible with the views of God, with the intention of influencing your decisions to take you to a place that you probably don't want to end up at. So, last point. So how do we deal with these strongholds? Then we'll pray. Because we all have them. If you do anything, right, that is not exactly in line with God's word, in how you react to people, in how your emotions rise up, in the choices that you've made, then you need to pay attention to how to deal with this. I pay attention every day because I'm aware. So for me as an individual, if I notice that the way I'm responding in this circumstance is not correct, I know, look, I need to address some things by myself so that I do not end up where I don't want to end up. So we all have to take this medicine, like I would say, including me. So how do we deal with this stronghold business? 3 things, then we'll pray. The first one, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, this boy came to himself and he said, look, why am I here? I have ended up here because in this relationship or in this thing, I did this, this, this. This person did this, 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 but this is my own contribution to where I am in. I made these choices. So the first thing is taking responsibility for where we are based on the choices that we have made. And don't blame anybody. There are some things that are done to you. That one is not your fault. But if by the choices that you have made, you have landed up in a particular place, take responsibility like this boy did. Because if you do not, or if I do not, stronghold continues. You know, stronghold continues. So we can say, oh, this person spoke to me this way, so I'm going to respond angrily. Really, you have a choice. So the first thing is taking responsibility for where we are if it is our own choices that have landed us there. I'm not talking about taking responsibility for something that was done to you. But if you find that you're somewhere in your life by the choices you've made, the first thing is to take responsibility, like this boy did in Luke chapter 15, 17. The second thing, dealing with strongholds, is that we decide that and we determine that every thought that comes to your mind, you will put it through the test of the Word of God. If something whispers in my ears, or a thought comes to my ears and says, Pastor B, you're no good. What does the Word of God tell me? It says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves me. A thought comes to my mind, you're unlovable. I'm like, really? Check. The Bible says I'm the apple of his eye. It says he has loved me with an everlasting kind of love. So thought, bin that thought. A thought comes saying, that person, look at the way they looked at you. I'm sure they just don't like you. Have they said they don't like you? Thought, no, I'm not going to accept that. So every thought that comes to your mind, examine it by the word of God. If it does not tally with what God says about you, about your situation, bin that thought. Bin that thought. And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations on every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So dealing with strongholds, take responsibility if you're the one who's landed yourself there. Determine that you put everything through the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And lastly, also determine that you're going to learn the word of God. You will read the Bible. You will try and understand what God has to say about every area of life so that you will know how to distinguish between what God is saying in your mind and what the devil is saying. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if it is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. So the last point is saying that desire to learn God's word, the Bible. And as you're doing that, you're going to be thinking about, we all think every second. It says, as you're going through your day, don't think about all the bad things. Even if there are bad things around you, think about the things that are good, pure, of good report, as it says in Philippians chapter 4. So I end there today. So today I've looked at the warfare against you and I. And I've said that warfare is primarily in our minds, number one. That the aim of that warfare is to bring us to the place where we're frustrated and those around us. And number three, I've said we can deal with this warfare very simply, as the Bible says. Taking responsibility for where we are, if we're the ones that have landed ourselves there. Examining every thought that comes to your mind. If it's not a good thought in line with the Bible, delete it from your mind. And number three, let's desire to read the Bible, know what God says about you and I, and think on good things.